A year of pandemic lockdowns, unrest over racial injustice, and a divisive election has left many of us wondering what, if anything, unites us as a nation. Well, what about this? Maybe we have our own religion, and not one that competes with Christianity or Islam or other faith traditions, but something that reflects our unique national beliefs and principles. Here's NPR's Tom Jelton on America's civil religion and whether it can still hold us together.
America is a nation of people from all over the planet. So what's the country's identity, if not a common ancestry? It's a question Boy Scouts have to consider when they go for a merit badge for citizenship.
Are we a country that's united by a nationality?
Cheryl Rapetti is leading a merit badge class for a group of scouts at an outdoor classroom in Alexandria, Virginia.
Do we have hundreds of years of living together as a people, as a shared culture?
One young man raises his hand.
I would say that the thing that really holds America together, it's our values, kind of like freedom and like respect to everybody.
This is part of the civic lesson young people in America learn. The notion that you can become American by accepting American values. It's a philosophical, not an ethnic identity.
It is difficult to become German. It is difficult to become Swedish. Because those identities are not ideas.
Shadi Hamid's parents came to America from Egypt. He writes about religion and politics.
Becoming American means that you believe in the American idea, and at least in theory, that's open to any immigrant who is able to come here.
But that principle, that anyone can become an American if they embrace the country's characteristic values, is facing a severe test these days. Lynn Itagaki from the University of Missouri has written that America's unifying promise is unmet.
Because of the xenophobia that Asian Americans are facing, because of the backlash against African American civil rights, we're seeing that this kind of citizenship, this kind of an intrinsic right to be in the U.S., to enjoy its freedoms, is not really for everyone.
For an idea to define a country, it has to have real power, the kind of power a religion has for its believers. This is what's at stake in America these days. The country does have something like a national religion with something like a national prayer.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands.
The pledge is recited with hands on heart. There is similar reverence for the national anthem. Itagaki sees these gestures as indicating ritual occasions, and she does consider them legitimate.
Standing for the president or standing for fallen soldiers. And so we have these regular expressions of devotion, just like a religion.
But Itagaki is among those now calling for a more critical view of this civil religion, with attention, for example, to the nation's origin, when white Europeans violently displaced the native population.
The U.S. is a white settler colonialist state. It was founded that way.
In the U.S. civil religion, the founders have a status like saints, and the texts they produced serve as a kind of scripture, laying out the principles by which the nation is to be guided. But many of the founders were slaveholders. Does that fact discredit the American idea, the country's civil religion? Shadi Hamid, as the son of immigrants, hopes that will not happen.
If we completely do away with key founding figures and we start problematizing the founding documents, which are part of the American civic faith, then the American idea doesn't have a lot to go on. Foundations matter.
Critics of America's civil religion generally agree the principles in those documents are sound, but their application has been problematic. To complicate things, the American idea has gotten linked to a kind of Christian nationalism, most recently during the insurrection at the U.S. Capitol when the Senate chamber was violently occupied.
Jesus Christ, we invoke your name! Amen! Amen!
The audio there recorded by a writer for the New Yorker magazine. Among those upset by that scene at the Capitol was Miles Wuerntz, a theology professor at Abilene Christian University.
When you have someone who, like we saw on January 6th, someone who gets up into the Senate declaring that the violence that is being done on that day is being done in the name of God, then that's when I think we find religious language has gone amok.
In fact, the events of January 6th, because of all the Christian symbolism displayed that day, have brought a general backlash against religious nationalism in the country. Warrants fears it's calling into question even the notion of a civil religion in America. He notes that some of the most eloquent apostles of the American idea, like the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., actually spoke from a Christian tradition.
In his speeches, he frequently uses references to Scripture, and he's not speaking specifically to Christians, but using these things as more basic moral instruction.
A reaction against any religious language, Wernt says, can be taken too far.
My concern is that in trying to get rid of the Christian nationalist versions, that the other things which might have some social benefit might get swept out as well.
The question here is the continued viability of America's civil religion, whether it can still inspire the nation the way it's supposed to. Washington, D.C. is still the home base. Students from around the country come here as if on a pilgrimage to get an appreciation of their heritage.
I always tell my student that, you know, we started schools way back when because we wanted children to understand our government.
Nicole Sardi, a fifth grade teacher in Eagle, Idaho.
And what was important about our government and why America is an awesome country and why people want to come here.
An important stop on this civic pilgrimage is the National Archives, where students can see firsthand the nation's founding texts. Sardi's class couldn't take the trip this year because of the pandemic, but they did get a virtual visit.
In the National Archives Rotunda, this is where you can find some of our most famous documents.
Katie Munn of the archive staff led the online tour.
This is where you can find the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights. We call these documents the Charters of Freedom.
But these Charters of Freedom are just a part of the archive holdings. There are also records here of the battle for women's suffrage and the civil rights movement. If there is scripture for America, it is being updated.
I think about the American civil religion as an evolving tradition.
Sociologist Philip Gorski at Yale University says the tradition should incorporate other people, other saints, alongside the founders. People like Frederick Douglass, the social reformer Jane Addams, Martin Luther King Jr., and others more recent, to keep the civil religion meaningful for an increasingly diverse nation.
I sometimes liken it to a river whose banks grow wider over time and which is changed by the landscape that it flows through, instead of, for example, thinking about it as some kind of pristine spring that we have to return to again and again.
The preamble to the U.S. Constitution begins with the words, "We the people." The American people today may not be quite whom the founders had in mind back then, but the country's civil religion needs to speak to everyone here now. Tom Gelton, NPR News.